This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Candace Anyone, the first major of the year, rolls on down under. Second round coverage begins tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Continues on ESPN2 at 9 Eastern. Every point of every match can be seen live on ESPN Plus. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, I want you to take a listen to Andy Reid's Super Bowl analogy from yesterday.
Yeah, well, if you like chocolate cake and you eat a piece and then you have one dangled in front of your face, you're probably going to want to eat that too. Not much is going to stop you. So, I mean, that's how you feel about the Super Bowl. I mean, that is the chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting.
Oh, feels like he's given that analogy a lot of thought.
And he's so right. He is so right. Yeah. I mean, 100%. But there's no better way to describe it. From big man to big man,
yeah, that's
I freaking
it.
Love some Andy Reid, dog. I'm with you, Andy. With you.
I don't speak that language. I don't got the sugar diabetes like you and, you and Andy.
You know, here's a man who I think likes a piece of chocolate cake.
There you go.
Marcus Spears has gotten up with
that's
us
what they
here.
Call him.
The big swagoo is ready to go.
They call him
what
swag in Louisiana.
I just had to make sure it was safe to come out here in these streets.
We'll get to the Cowboys, okay. So it might not be as safe as you think it is. With that, we welcome you back to another hour. We come to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and here we go. We are getting up this hour with a Monday night massacre. Hollywood's heroes handle business at home. Are they now about to bounce Brady? We will start there. Meanwhile, there's one huge reason the Cowboys coaching situation is going to be shuffled this week. We will tell you what that is, and we'll hear from Jerry Jones during this hour. Plus, this could not have played out worse for the Packers. Why Saturday night could easily be the final curtain for Aaron at Lambeau. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now. Wild card finale last night, Monday night, Matthew Stafford looking for his first ever playoff win. Rams taking on Kyler Murray, also looking for that first playoff win. And the Cardinals, first quarter, no score. You know what himself a night? Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, yeah, you could see by the way he's trying to make every cut. He wanted to have a big night. He was able to have a big night. He was not going down easy.
Yeah, he's another one who would never won a playoff game before last night. And here he is with the first score.
Oh, he was doing all he could to change that. You throw it up in man coverage, you Odell Beckham over there. More times than not, he's going to win with those hands.
So he was one of the big acquisitions this team made during the season. Jeff, another was Von Miller, and get a look at him here.
Closer. That's how you define a guy like Von Miller on the edge. It's every offensive lineman's nightmare. Gets that good rip in, goes home and gets the sack. That's how you close games out and put quarterbacks under pressure. Great rush.
Early second quarter, Rams with a third down, and it's Odell again.
Oh, yeah, this was a scheme win. They attacked the flat defender right there. Odell was wide open. Matt Stafford hit him. Odell had a night, boy.
That puts him down by the goal line where Matt Stafford tries to take it in on a third down. Initially ruled no touchdown, but then, Jeff, we take another look.
We will not be denied. Understand football. X's and O's, we don't care. Will not be denied.
Stafford's first rushing touchdown since 2016. Then here's the sequence that really decides the game, right? This is Kyler Murray making a nice play to get out of the shadow of his own goal line.
Yeah, it was a great hit by the safety. A good job challenging it. And then it sets up a real bad play where Joe Judge is watching this one saying, told y'all so.
Well, it's a good point. Look, Murray, he's just got to get rid of the ball now. Now.
Don't throw it.
What a disaster, Jeff.
He winced it. He Carson winced it right here. Your feet are in the blue. No, read the room. Get rid of the ball or get out. Use that 4-3 speed and get out of it. Do not do that. Shortest interception in playoff history.
We've made winced it into a verb here. Next Cardinals drive. Is this one, Jeff, his fault?
Absolutely. Lead the running back. He's got a receiver, man. A little touch on that thing. He's coming at you. Come on.
If I hit you in the face, man.
Kyler Murray had a very bad night. In the meantime, Odell Beckham did not. Take a look at this throw, Neek.
Oh, he can do it all. I think that was the problem all along in Cleveland. They had the wrong man throwing and the wrong man catching.
He caught a touchdown. touchdown. He threw that nice ball, and then all that was left to put this thing away was to get Cooper Kupp into the action, and that they do.
Oh, yeah, Cooper Kupp had a quiet night, but I'm sure he'll take a victory no matter what.
Yeah, he had a huge year. Kyler Murray's season comes to a disappointing end. Matthew Stafford finally gets in the win column, and on these Rams go now to take on Tampa Tom next weekend. That was a matchup that we saw in week 3 this year at SoFi. It feels like a very long time ago, but Absolutely. The Rams won that game handily. So, Swagoo, we've not heard from you. And the point that we made earlier today is, for the Rams, the stars showed up. They brought all these guys in here for this time of year, and at least last night, they all came to play.
No question. No question about it. And this is kind of the bet that you're making. If you're the Los Angeles Rams, and especially Sean McVay, I think the thing that they walk away from that game saying, gee, is that we actually had just an efficient night from our quarterback and was able to dominate a football game. Now, we know the road gets tougher, but the fact that you were able to put that on film with Cam Akers, you were able to put that outside zone scheme on field with Sony Michel, Odell Beckham Jr., obviously we all thought he was still an elite receiver. The talk, you know, being in Cleveland make you unelite at a lot of things. But ultimately, what you saw last night was their ability, based on these acquisitions, to play whatever type of football you need to play. And we know in the playoffs, man, you got to morph. You got to figure out ways to find advantages, and you have to have the playmakers to do it. So with Cooper Kupp and his 2,000-yard season nearly, now you add OBJ, who you have to decide, are we going to live with OBJ being one-on-one with our defensive back, or do we double Cooper Kupp or vice versa? Because if OBJ is going to continue to get single matchups, he's going to continue to remind everybody of why he turned into a phenomenon early in his career, along with a winner. And then on the defensive side of the ball, man, Von Miller. Like I've heard Jeff say it 1,000 times, the closer. This is what you get for the playoffs. They signed Von Miller for the playoffs. Guys, let's get a lead. And we got two of the most elite pass rushers to ever the game that should be able to take us home. And you saw that show up last night. Built well. They got a challenge this weekend, but this team is built well, and they starting to come together as a team as well.
We're going to get to that game in a second, but Dan, I did want to come to you here because you were there with Odell at the beginning of his career, covering him when you were covering the Giants. And last night, we talked so much about Matt Stafford and what that game meant to him. Yeah. But you know that's a night that Odell has waited his entire career for.
Yeah, he hasn't done much winning. This is the third time he's ever been on a team that finished the season with a winning record?
Yes.
And one of them was last year's Browns that he didn't end up finishing the season with them because he was hurt. So, you know, the first time the Giants had that 11-5 year, and then they all went to Miami and the boat and all that kind of stuff, and they got beat in Green Bay. That was his only playoff game, so obviously that left a sour taste in his mouth. Look, he has always said, and he's kind of backed it up, right? Like any issues he's had, the frustrations he's had have been because of losing. And I think, you know, he's a big part of what's going on there. They're winning. It's Los Angeles. He seems very happy.
And then we can spin it. Go ahead, Marcus.
I'm just grateful that I never lived in a world where I thought OBJ couldn't play receiver anymore. I'm just so grateful that I decided not to become a part of that dumb, stupid tone of, well, is he the guy? Is he still able to make plays? Well, you know, like I said, G, when we had this conversation, a lot of those Hall of Fame receivers, their quarterbacks' jerseys are hanging up right next to him.
Amen.
That's right. And so he goes on, and they go on to Tampa next week. And it's a 3-point game, according to Caesars here, which essentially says Vegas thinks this is an even matchup, and you give the Bucs 3 points for being at home. I mentioned that the Rams beat them earlier this year. But I keep coming back to this, Jeff, and that is that in a world in which there's only one bye, the Buccaneers having to play last week might wind up being critical. Not that they were ever in any real danger of losing to Philly, but getting injuries on their offensive line with these guys coming to town, I can't think of a worse scenario.
Game of attrition, right? We talk about it all the time. The 17 games were concerning, and now no bye, so now you have to go play this game, and we know Tom Brady does not come out. He wants to play every snap. Well, now your center's banged up, Jensen's hurt with a sprained ankle, and Wirfs probably won't play, and if he does, I'm not sure how productive he'll be. By the way, when they played him the first time, without Von Miller, they harassed him 16 times. They hit him and they sacked him 3 times. That is, when you talk about the Tampa Buccaneers and 2,000 yards of production has not been on the field in the last few weeks with injuries and guys getting fired. That's a big deal because that front five has played together more than anybody else in the NFL for 2 years. They have given Tom Brady comfort. When that comfort goes away, you will definitely have a shot at beating Tampa.
There was a moment in time when we thought the Rams were the best team in the NFL. Now, that feels like a very long time ago. But it is all about playing your best at the right time. And so, Neek, is this a good – I should say it differently. Is this a bad matchup for Brady?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And at this time, because we know that last year the Bucs were, like, uncommonly healthy. And we know this year the opposite is true.
Yeah.
And the most important thing I think about those offensive linemen being missing is it shrinks the playbook. For Tom Brady. Yeah. He's not a spring chicken, as we all know. Though he's throwing the ball as well as he has before, it doesn't change the fact that them bones and ligaments are getting a little bit older. He's not going to take any hits that he can't. So they're not going to be calling all the deep downfield passes, which is what Mike Evans isn't a short area, kind of get busy type of guy. And despite what you may think about a guy like Scotty Miller, neither is he. Right, he needs to stretch the field. And so it's interesting what it's going to do to
their final thought.
In that short passing game, Leonard Fournette was heavily involved. That if he doesn't make it back for this game, or if he's not 100%, because there's a difference.
Yeah, you could play.
Between playing and playing.
Scotty Miller,
Marcus, that's an inside joke for hour number one. We'll catch you up. In the meantime, let's do awesome, awkward, and awful. Let's go over the weekend now, which is complete. And Jeff, what did you see that was awesome?
Big man touchdown! Graziano was dying to see this. Tommy Dwayne, I see you, big man. Got as many touchdowns as OBJ. Don't worry about it. This is what we do. Alex Reddy, not only are we going to score, we're going to snatch the defensive player of the year on the ground. Let him watch us as we walk in. There is nothing better. And we didn't even put in Travis Kelce's touchdown, who is a pseudo big man. Pseudo big man. That's what I'm talking about, big man touchdown.
What did you see that was awkward?
Oh, it was the Cowboys' final play of the game. Like, this was so uncomfortable. The referee running up everybody's back. It's not his fault, but it was just a whole ugly, awkward way to end otherwise kind of exciting finish. It was going to be a thrilling last play. Last play's a spike.
That play was all three. It was awesome, it was awkward, and it was awful. Marcus, what did you see this weekend that was awful?
The Dallas Cowboys. Can we just run the whole highlight of the football game? And how inept this offense was, how bad. Matter of fact, put a picture of Kellen Moore and Cliff Kingsbury next to each other and put the word twins, because they can't call a game in the playoffs. When you think about what we watched this team do on offense, which was supposed to be the calling card, this was supposed to be the best unit. I want to remind everybody coming into the season, that is the reason we thought the Dallas Cowboys had an opportunity to go deep into the playoffs. I never picked them to win a Super Bowl. I thought they could be a team that could be very dangerous in the playoffs. And they forgot how to play football offensively for the last few weeks of the season. And then you look at this playoff, and it was a culmination. Talk about the last play, culmination of the season. We sat right here on this damn show and talked about clock management. We sat right here on this show and talked about the ineptness of this offense week after week after week. So, no, the San Francisco 49ers tried to give it away. And Dallas said, we don't want it. We want you to have it more than we want it. So that's really what it boils down to. It was awful by everyone. The quarterback, the coaches, the fans crying in the stands. Y'all ain't got nothing to do with the damn game. Ain't nothing y'all crying was going to do to help the Cowboys win a football game. And don't get it misconstrued. I love the Dallas Cowboys. I will never switch up on them because they gave me checks that changed my family life. But I'm going to tell the damn truth when it comes to the Cowboys. And the truth is, what you saw from this team is what everybody that doesn't root for them expects. And what you saw also was the season of us talking about all of the flaws come to a head in one shining night. For the San Francisco 49ers.
Just paying in. That's a broken man.
Jeff, I've been there. Jeff, Swagoo, Jeff. I have felt it. I felt it the last week of the season. You feel it now.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. This the God honest truth. Today is Wednesday. Thursday, that direct deposit hit, I'm straight, big dog.
By the way, today's Tuesday, Marcus.
I ain't got nothing to do with that. Yeah, Tuesday. So I got 48 hours till my celebration.
The man is so upset he has no idea what day it is. We're going to hear from Jerry Jones in this hour on the future of his head coach. We will let you know what he says immediately, and we will get Marcus's and everyone's reaction to the future of the Cowboys coaching situation, which could be decided very quickly. Plus, they both threw for 5 touchdowns over the weekend. Allen, Mahomes, collision course. Who wins? We're talking about it next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and then there were eight. Those are the matchups that we have to look forward to this weekend in the NFL. And we start with this one, Allen and Mahomes. There have been three previous meetings between these two superstar quarterbacks. The first, week six of 2020, Kansas City ran for 245 yards in that game, their most in any game under Andy Reid, and they won that. Then the AFC Championship game last year. Chiefs won it again by two touchdowns. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill went nuts. They had 22 catches, 290 yards receiving between them. Then this year, Josh Allen and company came in with a mission against this group and took care of business. They won this year, week five, 38-20. Allen ran for three touchdowns, threw for three touchdowns and ran for another. It was Patrick Mahomes' worst home loss ever. And so here's the question I want to ask. Allen could not have played better than he did on Saturday night. He's going up against Kansas City's defense. Patrick Mahomes has had, by his standards, not a spectacular season. He's facing Buffalo's defense. Which one of those two quarterbacks is going to play the better, bigger game this weekend? Marcus.
Patrick Mahomes. And I'm going with experience, number one, but also you've seen what this team has done from an offensive standpoint. I know everybody pays attention to Tyreek and Travis Kelce, but have we not seen the emergence of DeMarcus Robinson and Pringle and them using Miko Hardman in a multitude of ways? When you think about this Kansas City Chiefs offense in particular, they have literally made a progression throughout the course of this season. Patrick Mahomes has literally gotten better and got back to seeing things. He's hitting those deep shots. This is a completely different offense. The Buffalo Bills are about to play this go-around, and I look forward to seeing Patrick Mahomes with the creativity of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy go to work against the Bills. Not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not picking a winner. I just think Patrick Mahomes has a better day.
Yeah, for the moment, we're just talking about the quarterbacks. Josh or Patrick, Jeff, who's got the bigger game this weekend?
Josh Allen. Josh Allen. You listen, you just saw those numbers that he had on week five. You saw what he did against the Patriots. Listen, this offensive line is one of the hottest offensive lines in the NFL. The last 4 weeks, they have given him all day. When you give a man of that size and stature all day in the pocket with the arm arrogance, as RC talks about, that he can rip that thing in, and then he can run it. Look, on third and three and third and four, they didn't turn around and hand it to a running back. They ran QB sweep, QB draw at you. That is scary for any defense. You're playing 11 on 11. He will have a big day, just like he had in week five. He's going to score with his arm, but his legs are the difference maker, in my opinion, in this game.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen's his best is better than Patrick Mahomes. But I don't think that Josh Allen can reach that on a regular basis. We saw him reach it last week. I don't imagine he'll do it again this week. Although Patrick Mahomes has to go up against those safeties who are outstanding, he's aware of that. And we've seen Patrick Mahomes time and time again be just incredible week after week after week. And with the way that the Chiefs defense mix it up, I think they will find a way to confuse Josh Allen from time to time. He won't play bad, but I don't think he's going to play nearly as well as he did against the Patriots.
I'm taking Josh Allen. I think this is his moment. I think this is a team that is geared up for this game. They remain annoyed about how badly they played in the AFC Championship game in Kansas City last year. They've been eyeing this for an entire calendar year. I think they're going to be up for it, and I think the reason is going to be Josh Allen.
Well, they've had two dragons to slay, if you will. They got the first one last week. They got Belichick. They got the Patriots. Yep. It wasn't Brady, but take it from one who knows. Every team in the AFC East has been just getting their, getting smashed by the Patriots for so long. So for this team and that quarterback to go out there and do what he did on Saturday night, that's putting one of those to rest. But now to your point, I think they consider this one the big one.
Yeah, they do. And look, I mean, they played a perfect game on Saturday night, right? I mean, this is like, we're going to be looking up in a month and like Leslie Frazier is going to be coaching the Bears and Brian Daboll is going to be coaching the Dolphins and Josh Allen's going to be Super Bowl MVP and all this. Like, it would be like, they played a perfect, nobody looked better. Or even really that close. Yeah. And Kansas City, I hate picking against Kansas City. They make me look bad every time I do it, but I think this is Buffalo's moment.
All right, we will have the rest of the week to pick these games, but that quarterback matchup, look, they're all good. I can't imagine anything you could ask better than that one. In the meantime, earlier this morning, Jeff was handing out pancakes. Now, Swagoo gets his chance.
Get him. I know some people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long gone by the law. He needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes and then you find out he a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
I'm telling you, it has changed the way I watch football now. I just sit there every week and when a guy gets, he's going to need new security. Marcus, take it away.
Let's get it popping, G. Coming off the Bills discussion, let's look at star. I'm not going to say his damn last name. I don't know how. But this is how you defeat a block in the center of the pocket. Mac Jones out there like, man, this is a different animal out here.
You came out there,
I am not comfortable at all. But look at the guard. He got lost, Jeff. This is lost. This is you need new security for Mac Jones. And a man with a beard like that, how the hell you gonna stop him from getting in the club? Second, my man Ryan Kerrigan. No. Oh my God. Jeff, can somebody teach some technique to this right tackle? Because this ain't it, player. And I know Tom Brady at this moment is using his peripheral thinking, that is Ryan Kerrigan. What in the hell is happening? He was supposed to be done in the NFL. Hey, Tom Brady, you need new security. We might be saying that again this week. And Lord have mercy. Lord. I don't know why every time people want to single block this man. What in the hell is this playing, Cliff Kingsbury? You know what? Let's go in the game and let's see if we can block Aaron Donald with just one of our guys. No, dumb, you can't. Kyler Murray, you need new security. And Kyler Murray needed security all night long. Matter of fact, Kyler Murray needed more security than the damn president of the United States based on that situation Cliff Kingsbury put him in last night. All of them players need new security. And listen, for Tampa Bay, okay? Byron Leftwich, I know you're not going to do this in Bruce Arians.
No.
But please don't block Aaron Donald one-on-one. Don't do it. I don't care if they try to get him matched up one-on-one. Don't do it, because Tom Brady going to need new security, too. He's going to have to get that damn ball out in 0.5 seconds if he think they're going to block him man-to-man.
It was that second one, the one in the Tampa game, when I saw that play. And
I
my first thought
first
was, play. Marcus has got that.
It was either his first or second play. Let me tell you something. As an offensive lineman, if your feet are ever together, you are a dead man. And look what he took. And that man, Kerry, just ran right through like a turnstile, bro. Man. Going right on through. Your feet better be spread. You better be in a better position, my man. That is god awful.
And why were you going like this? Why were you wrapping up?
First one, minute Lutula beats you, you freaking grab him, dude. You got thumbs to grab stuff. You grab that son of a gun and ride and do not let him touch your quarterback. No, sir. He's now a wagon. He's just carrying you. You do not let him beat you that clean.
And what do you yell at your quarterback?
Throw it! Throw it! Throw it!
Okay. On we go. As we continue here, this could not have played out worse for the Packers. We'll tell you why Saturday night could easily be the final curtain for Aaron at Lambeau. Plus, what are the Cowboys and Jerry Jones going to do? I have an update on the Jerry Jones situation that I think is very significant. And we'll tell you what it might say about the decision he is on the verge of making. That is coming up next. And we also have this. Sneaky Hembo and Graziano, here's the question. The 2007 Giants became the second team to beat the Cowboys and Packers in the same postseason. Which was the first? I'm told we need the year and the team. That's next. Okay. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and in case you missed the action last night, NFC wild card game on a Monday night. Matthew Stafford looking for his first ever postseason win. The Rams taking on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And another guy, Dominico, was looking for his first playoff win was Odell.
Oh, yeah, he's still pretty good at football, and especially in the red zone. If you're going to double-team Cooper Kupp, it's an easy answer to that question, where's the ball going to go? Go to that all-pro over there playing one-on-one coverage.
He had a big night last night, and he had that one here, and he has another one that'll set up a Matthew Stafford quarterback sneak.
Oh, yeah, this is a McVay play. Like, there was nothing special about Stafford there, nothing special about Beckham there, just schemed it up.
So it's 14-0, and then Jeff, Kyler Murray, this is just awful.
Yeah, hung out in the end zone thinking no problems. Carson Wentz did right to the other team, touchdown, intercepted touchdown. Shortest in NFL playoff history, by the way.
Absolutely everything on this play is wrong, from holding onto it too long to finally throwing it up for grabs. Third quarter, it is 21-0 here, and it's Odell. You know what? He can throw it too, Nate.
Yeah, he can throw it with the left or the right hand. That man is a special athlete. Maybe they should have done that more.
Cleveland. And the name that we did not hear called much last night was the great Cooper Kupp, but he does get into the act here, catching the touchdown at the end, and so the Rams pull away for the easy win, 34-11. They will head to Tampa for their next playoff game against Tom Brady and company next week. In the meantime, we turn our attention to next week, and the San Francisco 49ers will have a chance to do something interesting. Mm-hmm. They have a chance to beat the Cowboys and Packers in the same postseason. The 2007 Giants did that. They were only the second team ever to do it. Who was the first team to beat both the legendary Cowboys and Packers in the same postseason?
I don't know it. I don't know it. I'm going to have to guess. But I'm going to guess one of the 49er teams that won the Super Bowl. I guess I'll guess the most recent, the 94 49ers, the 95 playoffs.
It's not a bad guess. You're not right. It actually goes way back to Washington, was not known as the football team then, but in 1972, they beat the Packers and the Cowboys and then lost to the unbeaten Dolphins in Super Bowl VII.
Old enough to remember that.
I would call that Hembo getting desperate. Like, that's just an unfair, random question.
I like the question.
No, I hate the question.
All right, well, I'm just saying.
That question stinks. So Graziano was up 3-1, but I'm putting an asterisk next to the one. That one reeked of desperation. So my team's playing this 49er team. They did awful good. They went to Dallas this Sunday and walked out with a win behind a physical run game and their pass defense. Next up for the Niners are the top-seeded Packers. Yesterday here on Get Up, Ryan Clark had this to say about playing San Francisco.
I think we're going to have to get to the point where we stop asking if the San Francisco 49ers are bad matchups for certain teams. You think the Los Angeles Rams want to play the San Francisco 49ers? Hell no. You think the Dallas Cowboys wanted to play them? Hell no. Do the Green Bay Packers want to play them? No. So let's just say they're a good football team. They're a good football team that play a physical brand of football in a time where nobody else does it, and that's why they're hell on wheels to play against.
You know, it's sort of an interesting thought, Marcus, that what Ryan was basically saying is we're disrespecting the 49ers by continuing to say they're a bad matchup for all these good teams instead of pointing out the obvious truth. They're a really good and dangerous team. So I'm asking you, is Aaron and company in a little bit of trouble Saturday night?
Yeah, that's a good football team. Difficult to play. Listen, I do a segment on SportsCenter called Lock 'em In. I put the San Francisco 49ers in the playoff week 8 of the season. When you start to see all of them things come together that made them a really good football team. And Green Bay remembers that Jimmy Garoppolo only threw 8 passes and they won the game the last time these two teams saw each other in the playoffs. So I look forward to seeing the game. Here's what I have, though, when it comes to Green Bay, okay? Aaron Rodgers is going to put pressure on that offense for the 49ers. And that is where you can't get into a match for match with the 49ers, because their style of play lends itself to close games. Or if they get up on you early, they want to be manageable. But I'm not going to sit here and act like Aaron Rodgers is not a different animal compared to everybody else that the San Francisco 49ers have played along this journey. So it'll be interesting to see what takes hold immediately And obviously, you want Jimmy Garoppolo to have to win the game for the 49ers as opposed to them staying from their comfort level like they were able to do against the Cowboys.
And I'll keep bringing this up here, the value of the bye, and Hembo actually sent me a stat. 15 of the last 16 teams to reach the Super Bowl had a first-round bye. Now, last year, Brady and the Bucks were the 16th of that group, but you got Rodgers and company sitting at home and resting and watching next week, and you got the 49ers who had to go on the road and play a late game on Sunday, then turn around and go on the road again on a Saturday night, and they got guys banged up. I mean, the advantages in Green Bay's direction. The teams, let's put the teams aside. The advantages are enormous.
Enormous. Listen, getting to rest, getting Bakhtiari back, he played a little bit, getting guys healthy, maybe Za'Darius Smith, maybe Alexander Mike come back. There's a lot of positive, but they've been able to take that week off. And then you think about the other side. It's a game of attrition, and with Warner and Bosa both being banged up, and when people talk about they're going to play, there's a difference between getting on the field to play and playing, and especially the level that you're asking them to play at. So when I look at this football game, it is concerning because the San Francisco 49ers are a very good football team. Don't miss the Green Bay Packers were at home for a reason. They are a very good football team with arguably the best quarterback in the game right now. Don't overstate matchups. They got to go play in Green Bay. Dan's going to be very cold. I think all of that. You might be the loser of all of this, in all honesty. I'm being honest with you.
I'm good. Standing out there in the freezing cold. You know what? You do mention one matchup that I think is worth pointing out. Aaron Rodgers speaks for himself.
Pretty good.
Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, he had that great game when they needed it most 2 weeks ago, and I think, you know, a lot of people are wondering. And look, they tend to win games when he's playing for them. But how much faith do you have in him to be what they need in order to go into Lambeau and win?
I got plenty of faith that he's going to leave the door cracked. He's going to turn the ball over at some point in that game if they need him to throw a lot. If you think back to the time when they knocked off the Packers in the playoffs, it was their running attack. And again, last weekend, it was their running attack. As long as they can run the ball well, yes, I trust Jimmy G to manage the game.
Guys, that interception he throws is inexcusable. That was two football games. It was before that play and after that play. The Cowboys had no chance until Garoppolo gave them that
three
chance.
Plays at Jimmy G, if you went back to the Super Bowl, the overthrow to Ayuk in this game reminded me of that in the Super Bowl, right? Then you talk about the interception when he's rolling out.
Here's that play.
Yeah. That's wide open, right? Like, Shanahan can't call a better play. You have to execute it. This play right here, as he's rolling out, throwing it to the other team. You either dirt that thing, throw it out of bounds, you make sure absolutely that doesn't get turned over. And then, listen, that fourth and one, and that Trent Williams gets up to motion and goes get down. That is the quarterback's job. Everybody's like, oh, it's a terrible design. Every offense has that little trick, draw them off sides quick, go get that first down at the QB sneak. You have to wait. It's those type of plays that Jimmy G makes that gives you causes for great concern if you're a 49ers fan.
Meanwhile, the other quarterback can hit a mosquito on the arm of a defensive player. I mean, like, that, the difference is significant. You know, I hear what RC is saying, but the 49ers were a 10-7 team that had to win on the last week of the regular season to get into the playoffs.
And barely 17-0.
That's different from being the number one seed and coming off a bye and playing a home at Lambeau. Look, I've seen it happen. I saw the 2011 Giants go into Lambeau and beat a 15-1 Packer team that was coming off a bye that was a defending Super Bowl champion. Yes, it can happen.
You're underappreciating how
the Packers are favorites for a reason.
You're underappreciating how difficult. You think I'm joking? How difficult that flight home is on the 49ers. I'm serious as hell.
Marcus, very quickly, these guys were telling me in the first hour that one of the things that takes a toll on a team in the playoffs is the flight home after a playoff win. Can you confirm that?
I ain't never felt it.
That's a cowboy. That's a cowboy.
Oh, man.
Master that thing up. Cowboy.
I did not do that on purpose.
He told me during the break. He told me in the break. This morning. Yeah, he said get him in the break.
Sorry. All right, let's go on the clock. Now I feel bad. Let's go on the clock. There's a bunch of other issues we haven't gotten to today. Jeff, I'm putting 30 seconds on the clock. Should the Eagles be looking at quarterback options after what we saw from Jalen Hurts over the weekend? Go.
No, not unless you get Aaron Rodgers. It has to be that much of an upgrade. But when I look at it, Hurts, you still have to give him time. Do not let what happened in Tampa think that all of a sudden Hurts is not your guy. They have made progress as the season has gone on. I like
where he is. But again, if you could go trade all those picks and get some miracle like an Aaron Rodgers coming to your team, understood. But without that, I'm riding with Hurts.
All right, fair enough. He remains an extremely inexpensive option.
Yes.
For the time being as well. Dominic, you're next up. Mac Jones, obviously, was a brutal night in every way for the Patriots on Saturday. Mm-hmm. What is your confidence level in him now after his rookie year?
Go. I mean, I think it's mediocre. He did more than I think I expected of him. He outkicked his coverage, so to speak. So I do think that he has something to build on going forward. But there are, like, severe limitations to what his game is. Like, he's never going to be Josh Allen, but who the hell is? So I think right. that they should feel confident going forward that they have somebody that they can build around and try to give him some more challenges this offseason and next season, because at some point they're going to need to rely on him. And anytime they've tried to do that so far, it hasn't panned out.
Rex said he needs to get in the weight room and get his lower half stronger, which is where you develop that arm strength. Marcus, to you, the Steelers go out. Big Ben rides off into the sunset. What should the Steelers do this offseason about the quarterback position? Go.
They should have their eyes squarely on one of these potential veterans that will be coming. Look, I'm Russell Wilson. We don't know what he's thinking or trying to get out of Seattle. When he looks at this Steelers team, you address this offensive line. That's a team that can win, obviously getting in the playoffs. I look at a guy like Jameis Winston. What is he going to be looking for from the New Orleans Saints, or is it somebody that you can bring in Pittsburgh with all of these weapons and maintain that level of downfield passing that you have the capabilities of doing? Jameis is a really interesting one to me because it seems like he loves Sean Payton and wants to remain there and under the protection of the offense, but also his ability to go to Pittsburgh and be kind of the new usher in the new second chapter of that may be enticing to him as well. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I remember when Winston was coming out in the draft, people were comparing him to Ben, that there were similarities in their style and their stature and all that kind of thing. So that could be a very interesting one. We'll keep a close eye on it. Meanwhile, here's our next featured NHL game for you on ESPN+. Tonight, the Islanders and Flyers play the back end of a home-and-home in Philly. Our coverage starts at 7 Eastern. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. All right, coming up next, I've got news on Jerry Jones and his radio interview from today. And we will decipher what exactly the decision he made today might mean. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and the Dallas Cowboys, as usual, find themselves in the center of the conversation, although that conversation today will notably not include the owner of the football team after that play and all of the drama that it created and all of the normal drama that swirls around this football team. Jerry Jones has canceled his usual radio appearance for this morning. Now, I don't want to overreact to this, but it is worth pointing out that Jerry Jones, and this, I don't mean this to be in any way derogatory, he loves talking. I mean, he likes the attention, and it is not often that he cancels this appearance. Through bad losses, through bad times, he has. It is worth pointing out that after the 2019 season, Jerry Jones canceled this radio appearance right after the season, and then they fired Jason Garrett. That may not have anything whatsoever to do with what happens now, but it is just worthy of pointing out. With all of that said, Marcus Spears, I've not yet had a chance to ask you this question. It's really a two-part question, I suppose. What is your best guess as to what will happen with the coaching situation there, and what do you think should happen?
My best guess is that they're going to stay with Mike McCarthy. That's my best guess. What I think should happen is Dan Quinn should be promoted to the head coaching job with the turnaround that he had with this defense. And you go out and you find you an offensive coordinator, not one that Jerry or this brass has ordained the next up-and-coming guy. Listen, y'all, like when you look at this game, and Dak didn't play well, this is not to absolve him at all. But when you look at this plan And you telling me CeeDee Lamb is going to get one catch in a playoff game where you got to have it all? You telling me Tony Pollard is going to get six touches and your running back comes out and says he has an injury, had an injury after the game? Is it what Zeke said? And you look at this team and you think about Amari Cooper making $100 million and you get a playoff game where your only advantage literally was on the back end of this defense. I know that the offensive line struggled and they were giving up pressure, but ultimately your calling card this whole year, not just in this particular game, was supposed to be your explosiveness downfield with the receivers that you had and an impactful run game that you had. So, look, I lay a lot of this at the feet of Kellen Moore, and a lot of that has nothing to do with Mike McCarthy, but a lot of the clock management, a lot of the things that we talked about earlier this season that I didn't think would get the Dallas Cowboys, because I give a little credence to, okay, we've seen us mess this up twice. Let's get it fixed. Let's figure out how to be a better football team. And then it comes to this. It was a culmination of the entire football season. Came down to a three-hour game in the playoffs against the San Francisco 49ers. So the bottom line is, what I watched was a defense go from worst to damn near first. I watched a team respond to a defensive coach. We had multiple shows during the season where we talked about unbelievable job that Dan Quinn is doing. I never heard that about Mike McCarthy. We talked about Kellen Moore and Boy Wonder. And then this offense fell off the face of the earth for multiple weeks throughout the back end of the season. So I don't know what the situation is going to be. I don't know what Jerry is thinking. I know Dan Quinn is getting some interviews from other teams when you should be trying to tell him and promote him to being the head coach. And let's not forget, I know what happened in Atlanta, but Dan Quinn also got his team to a Super Bowl as well.
Yeah, they had a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl once upon a time, and players love him and everything else. And Dan Graziano, I think he just touched on an important point here, and let's make sure the audience is aware that Dan Quinn is a hot commodity right now.
Yeah. Four interviews this week for head coaching positions. Look, I mean, he could – there it is. Schefter has Denver, Minnesota, Miami, Chicago just this week. He's also – Jacksonville had him on their initial list. Like, he's a hot commodity. Look, he's a head coach. He was a good one. You know, however the Super Bowl ended and however his final year went, you know, people still respect him. And yeah, but I don't think the Cowboys are making that move.
You do not.
They came out. Jerry Jones said after the game, that's not on the table. Right. Steven says yesterday that he's confident that McCarthy will be there next year. They could change their minds, certainly. But historically, we've had to take them at their word on this.
I mean, his Super Bowl run, I'm not negative Dan Quinn. I'm pro Dan Quinn as much as anybody here is, but his Super Bowl run was built on the back of Kyle Shanahan coordinating an offense that Matt Ryan into an MVP-level player. So, like, if we think that somehow this defense is going to stay as good as it is while Dan Quinn bumps up to head coach, like, I think that could be a problem. Yeah. Assuming that because he's been to a Super Bowl, Mike McCarthy's been to one. He's won it also. That doesn't mean that it's going to translate. He's had 1 year of incredible improvement. The job of being head coach in Dallas is a lot different than coordinating an offense from worse to a lot
100%.
Better.
100%.
But the point that Dan made, I think, is a good one, that he at least has head coaching experience. It's not someone that we're elevating and we have no idea what it's going to be. You take that for whatever it's worth. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, the concern for Mike McCarthy, and I don't think they're going to make a move either. The concern is you're the most penalized team in the NFL, so that shows you're undisciplined. You have a message that goes out weekly that says you're going to be a physical football team. You're going to run the ball. Obviously, that's not being resonated to your offensive coordinator and to your team. And then you're looking at what I would feel like is a catalyst in your locker room with Dan Quinn. It's not just the defensive coordinator ability.
Response.
It's how he gets the response of the players around him.
They love
him,
right?
Put their head through a wall for this guy. There's something about it's an it factor for a coach. When you want to go play for a guy like that, I do not see that on the McCarthy side. Maybe it is, but from what I've seen, I have not seen that part. That
Mike
would be
Tomlin
my biggest,
effect, I feel
exactly.
like.
That would be my concern if I'm Jerry letting him walk out of that
Marcus,
building.
I just have a minute, but I want to ask you this question because there's two pieces to this. There's not wanting to lose Dan Quinn and what you may have to do as a result, and then there's just how much blame should Mike McCarthy take for what happened. As a Cowboy, as someone who has the star, you know, on your heart, how much of what happened here do you believe is the fault of the head coach?
60%. 60%. And I say 60% because you have to manage what you're not doing well. Mike McCarthy is just like us. He sat here and watched this offense fall off a cliff, didn't make a change. He sat there for weeks and watched Connor Williams get bullied and whooped at the guard position and did not find an answer or a solution. He sat in this game and watched Tony Pollard not be involved in the offense. Now, I want to live in the vein that Tony Pollard is still banged up, because I have no answer for not getting dynamic playmakers the ball in a playoff game where you need explosive offense. But Mike McCarthy watched all of that.
But
watched all of that manifest.
You're right, but it feels a little unfair to come on Mike McCarthy about this, because in this situation, Kellen Moore was there when Mike McCarthy got there.
Yes.
So it's hard to argue that Mike McCarthy is given the autonomy over Kellen Moore when it's clear that
Jerry
Jones
is it
has shown. I'm saying that Jerry Jones has shown allegiance to Kellen Moore. You put Mike McCarthy in that position without power. Then we criticize him for discipline while the owner is the one who is the spokesperson for the team every week. It's really difficult to instill discipline when your players are looking at you like, you ain't really the boss. So, I mean, we're coming down on him in quite a way and not understanding that there are other people involved in this equation, at least one other person involved in this equation.
Boy, I would love to continue this conversation, but First Take is going to start in a few minutes, whether we're ready for it or not. I will mention also quickly that we have a really good Super Tuesday doubleheader for you this week. And that's tonight, of course, 7 Eastern, number 7, Kansas taking on rival Oklahoma. Then you got the young star Paolo Banchero and number 6 Duke squaring off against Florida State. Both games are on ESPN and the app, One App, One Tap. I told you, First Take, top of the hour here. Is Mike McCarthy the right coach in Dallas? What role does LeBron need to play to turn around the Lakers? It's Molly, Stephen A., and Keyshawn Johnson, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tennis anyone, our first major of the year rolls on down under. Our second round coverage begins tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus, and continues on ESPN2 at 9 Eastern. Every point of every match can be seen live on ESPN Plus. And Swagoo, you missed Jeff's pancakes this morning. Mm-hmm. This one, Jeff, was our favorite.
Buckle up, Swagoo. Defensive player of the year.
Oh,
we'll talk to him out the club. We need to catch a touchdown for our team. We'll make that happen, too. Oh. This is 3 pancakes because we're dominating D-line and dominating linebackers and DBs. We do everything everyone else does, Swagoo, only better.
What do you think of that, Marcus?
It's holding. It's a penalty. And if it was the Cowboys,
holding,
it would have been called.
It's holding.
Erroneous. Just like the erroneous whistle.
Jeff, that's the worst pancake all year. You know this holding. You know this holding, Jeff Saturday.
He's using his weight to go against him. He's probably done some jujitsu. That's what we do. That's another training technique we like to use on the O-line. Sling him down. Go make that play.
I saw Randy Gregory get a defensive holding for doing the same thing right here.
Yes. OPI.
We ain't Randy Gregory, dog. Don't put that in comparison.
Thank you so much for this morning.
That was a waffle. That wasn't a pancake. That was a waffle.
Starts now.
What a day.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.